clear their airways for the big broadcast. It's time for HempRadio.com, your source for everything hemp and cannabis. With your host, Patty Cakes, the queen of cannabis.
Hey, welcome to Hemp Radio. It's Patty Cakes. What did I tell you? What? Elliot. Hey, guys, welcome.
And I'm one of the buds.
I just, for those of you that just tuned in, I was welcoming everybody, and I had just said to Elliot before we went on, put your phone away. And he did. But as I started talking, he pulled it out again. I'm going to smack his face. Anyway, hey, we have a great show today. Al's here, as you know. And our sweet Jess is here. And we have a special guest, Brant Stebbins. Is that right?
That's correct.
Oh, good. I love it.
And also, in addition, we have our main squeeze, Patty Cakes.
Of course.
Oh, didn't I say me?
No.
Oh. No.
Well, you know the mouth. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Brant is going to talk about what he's gone through. I can't pronounce, I don't want to pronounce your illness because then I'll look like an idiot. Can you, Jess?
No. Say it first, Brant.
Yeah.
Juvenile dermatomyositis.
Say that again.
Juvenile dermatomyositis.
Okay.
Dermatomyositis.
Dermatomyositis. So
okay, I got that.
Myo means muscle, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So actually, when you're, you could say it. That's kind of the way a lot of them just kind of roll off the tongue with it.
Mm-hmm.
But did you yell at him about a cell phone? And
yeah,
you didn't turn
I believe
off?
So. How's that for karma? Patty's in trouble.
Oh, I love it.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. It's a crazy day. My brother just got out of the home or the hospital, and, you know, it just shit's happening.
Yep.
Anyway, before we get started and talk about Brant's long name illness, and I wanted to talk about what's going on locally. I mean, that's usually what we do first.
Mm-hmm.
So does, what do you have? Anybody? Does anybody have anything? How was your weekend? Nobody's talking.
Wonderful.
I love it.
Wonderful
well,
weekend. Thank you.
This is what I'm going to say. I'm very excited because what just happened with Jeff Sessions, does mm-hmm. anybody know?
Tell us, Patty.
Elliot.
There's something new every day, Patty. Like
Elliot.
Every single day.
You know
what
you
did Trump,
tell us.
Did
Come
Trump
on, talk about it.
Throw out another tweet and was like, you know, I don't want to say what I just thought, but yeah.
Well, pretty
talking,
much
talking smack. What
you,
what happened?
You're actually pretty much on point with that. Trump is saying that pretty much he wants Sessions to step down, which would be great for mm-hmm. for
no.
cannabis industry.
Right.
But who would we get next is always the next.
That's
scary.
The question.
But the Appropriation Committee approved mm-hmm. giving another year of protection from federal interference to medical marijuana businesses in states where it is legal. It was passed with an overwhelmingly voice vote.
Great.
So the feds can't interfere as of yesterday or today again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like a big fuck you to Jeff Sessions, which,
oh my goodness.
Listen, and I know Jessica hates this, but we have to talk about Trumpty Dumpty. You know what? They're all falling, and it's fabulous. And I love it. I absolutely cannot believe that I really live in this country at this time. I mean, he has said, done, there, the mooch is gone. My mm-hmm. favorite person.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him. Nobody liked the mooch. Nobody
Scaramucci.
Cared.
Scaramucci. What's his name? I'm pronouncing
it's
it wrong.
Scaramucci.
He's scary. His mouth was scary.
You know how we always
said. How do you come out and have a press release like that? You know what? This is some crazy shit
we're
living through.
That's what I'm saying, Al. It's so crazy. I mean, to say what he said in front of everybody, I mean, it wasn't like somebody caught him whispering. I mean, he just came right out and said that, sucking his own whatever.
Goodness.
And, but he's gone. He was fired mm-hmm. on Monday or Tuesday. It was like, what was it, 10 days? You know, I went and looked up all the people that are gone. Priebus is gone. I mean, there's like
okay.
15 people.
I can't believe he got rid of my man, Rance.
Mm-hmm.
Rance, Priebus, whatever. Now, I'm not a Republican, you know.
No,
I'm definitely
right.
not a Republican.
Doesn't matter. It's about.
But for what he has done for his party, man, come on.
Well,
are you going to throw him out
what?
Like that? Like, they're not watching.
They probably did it for ratings.
Poor General, whatever his name is, who just got hired too. General Mathis.
Miller. No. Oh, how stupid.
Mathis or whatever.
No. What was his name? I think he's Irish. Do we know his name? We don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
He's
anyway.
Going to be fired in a couple of weeks anyway.
Right. Who cares? Why even remember his name?
Don't even get attached to anybody. It's
like this guy. Was this the shortest? And whatever happened to Kelly Conway? You don't hear about her.
No,
I think she's buried in the desert somewhere.
Faded into the wallpaper.
Right. Anyway, this is our country, and this is our president. And every day it's a big surprise. I love it. I think it's a lot of fun and kind of embarrassed. I predicted he would never, ever finish his 4 years, so we'll see how close I am to that. I love when he made the speech at the police department to beat more people. I mean, he was really into that. I mean, sometimes that's
oh, yeah, knock their head. You know, don't put your hand and protect them and give them their rights. Cut their rights. Screw their rights. Take away their health care. Come on, people.
You know what? I got some Schadenfreude out of that the Japanese prime minister's wife pretended that she didn't speak English for 2 hours so she wouldn't have to talk to him when she was seated next to him at dinner.
Would you want to talk to him?
No.
I think.
But, you know, she had to know that that was going to be noticed later and spoken of. You know, but she still, it was worth it to not have to converse with him to pretend that you don't speak English. She's given public speeches in English before. She speaks English quite well.
Donald Trump's a moron.
I know.
He's a fucking
moron.
So
I kind of enjoyed that like little public jab at him.
Right.
I'm sorry if that makes me petty. I have some good news. Do you want to hear good news?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's some good news. In rural desert Hot Springs, California, a grower who got busted by the police chief now works
with
him.
I love that story.
They work together. Oh, did you already know that story?
I read it, I think, last night.
Okay.
But tell us more. I mean,
that's really all I know. All I know is that they're somehow helping each other now.
Well, because
regulate cannabis
they're regulating cannabis now in that city.
Mm-hmm.
Adelanto, is that Adelanto, Elliot? Do you remember that?
Adelanto or Desert Hot Springs?
I don't know.
This is Desert Hot Springs. Yeah.
Well, there was a time when people were getting busted, and he probably busted him.
What new regulation are they having in Desert Hot Springs other than it's legal?
They're legal.
They have cannabis shops. I mean, you're going to re-regulate the regulation?
You were sleeping and playing on your phone. That's why you don't know what we were talking about.
Okay.
What about the NFL, under pressure from the players' union, now said that they're open to studying medical cannabis for pain management for players. That's cool.
I think that's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of giving them all the drugs that they've given them all these years.
They're probably still going to give them all the same drugs that they give them and now offer it as an option, or at least not drop them when they say we're going to venture out of the, you know, regular arena here and try something
else.
Shout
out to Dr. Greenspoon from Harvard University,
who's actually one
of the big guys that got the NFL to actually start listening about this problem.
And then who's the player, the local Kyle Turley,
who actually is giving
a talk locally somewhere, like right around now. He's been giving a couple of talks recently in support of
Evan
CBD
Britton,
specifically, and cannabis in general. There's a lot of
NFL players that are actually in the business now
because
they understand the benefits, and they really are starting to put the pressure on the NFL about it.
It's great,
especially
to see that.
When a lot of them are exposing how the NFL loads them up with liquor and loads them up with cortisone shots opiates and everything else. And they're telling more and more stories about this. And the NFL really wants to kind of hide that, I think. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is say, okay, let's just give them the cannabis because we really don't want to open up that can of worms of what we've really been doing to them.
Right. But now it's cool now that, like, with all of the, I say suspicion because we don't have that many studies in the state.
No,
although there are
more studies.
But the stuff about it being such a strong neuroprotectant agent, you know, the antioxidant effects in the brain, it's just interesting that that's coming out while the NFL is starting to consider studying it, because, you know, there are so many head injuries in football that you would think that they would really want to employ it for that too.
But how dumb are people? You're getting banged on the head. You don't think that's going to have an impact on you?
Of course.
20, 30 years down the line? Hello?
Well,
it's not about they didn't think about that. What the injury was going to happen.
They love playing.
They didn't think that the NFL wouldn't take it into serious consideration and make sure that they had these injuries taken, looking at seriously and treated seriously instead of just saying, get back on the field and let's go make some more wins.
Here's a painkiller.
And here you go. Here's some painkillers. Mm-hmm. Here's some cortisone shots. You know, here's some liquor if you feel depressed. You know, I talked to an NFL player that said that on Sunday you have all this adrenaline and everything is going and the fans are cheering and it's just go. And then Monday morning comes and you're on the airplane, you get back home,
crash.
And you're there by yourself. The adrenaline is coming down and they're just pumping you with, you know, head pills and they're pumping you with opiates to make the pain go away.
Yeah.
And it never really fixes anything. So I think this is actually a great thing that it's starting to be really looked at in that way,
mm-hmm.
as well as exposing what has been done.
Yeah.
And if cannabis is a way to expose it even more, great to the plant.
Oh, it's going
to
keep happening, too. Do we have time to do normal news real quick?
Yes, dear,
okay,
yes.
Okay, I'll breeze through it, right? Just to kind of go along
because
with the NFL ignoring all these awesome stories
as
far as cannabis.
It's all yours, babe.
In Uruguay...
Wait, did he say
No. He said we got plenty of time.
Oh.
So let's talk about Uruguay.
What happened?
Pharmacies are now beginning to sell cannabis over the counter.
But
that's
wait a minute.
Fabulous.
Wait a minute.
What?
Tell them how much THC is in the Uruguayan pot.
Oh. What does it say?
You know, I don't know that detail.
Well, you know what? You need to do your due diligence.
Tell
I
us,
want
Patty.
You to look it up.
Is it very weak?
Oh, my God. I wouldn't smoke it or use it.
But you know what? It's
marijuana
still, it's
flowers
still beneficial
are capped at a price of
not
$1.
Price.
I'm reading it.
Not
capped at a price of $1.30 a gram.
No, I asked you the strength, the percentage of THC in the Uruguayan pot.
Okay, well, it doesn't say that in this
It
article.
Will. Ask your phone that.
Okay.
I think it's less than I want to say 1%.
Somebody get Siri a mic so she can answer her questions.
Who?
Siri.
Where is that bitch?
Oh, God. She left you.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I have one more little tidbit. The Minnesota Department of Health.
Elliot's just looking it up.
He's looking it up.
No, he's not.
The Minnesota Department of Health added PTSD to the list of qualifying conditions for medical cannabis.
As they should.
Yes. But not every state includes PTSD. You know that?
Not every state. No, well, because they have to fight for it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, they have
to
get it added
really,
on.
Right.
Yeah.
The perfect marriage, and I think this is fabulous, the tech industry and the cannabis industry. A startup in Boston has developed a device called the 6908.
Oh.
Which, and Elliot, you're going to finish your normal news once you looked at, oh, you're not?
Uh-uh.
Why? Are you pissed?
For 2 seconds.
Why? Because I said you couldn't, it wasn't like...
Listen, I just read the whole article and it doesn't say that. So maybe your article is different
okay.
than mine, but don't attack me because I read two different articles. Maybe you should have filled in the blanks instead of attacking me, but let's go on.
Does somebody have an attitude here?
Yeah, for 2 seconds.
Okay. Anyway, a startup in Boston has developed a device called the G908, which can be used to find impurities in different... phenotypes, is that?
Phenotypes.
Phenotypes,
yeah.
Thank you, of cannabis plants. Thanks to the tech industry, it's becoming easier and easier for anyone to grow cannabis. Now, I'm not sure about this. I'm just telling you what these guys said.
Mm-hmm.
Growing apps such as GrowBuddy, and this is for you. This is for Brandt, because I know that he knows about growing. I looked up GrowBuddy. Mm-hmm. And it's a growing journal app that guides you through the process. I don't understand. You shook your head when I said that, and I shook my head when I said it.
Yeah, well,
do you know what, I mean, how could somebody do this?
It's basically they're having you pay for information that you can already find
online
through Google.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a digital book in a way with a step-by-step process.
So they've collected the information for you. Basically.
So it's basically for anybody that's lazy that just can't use Google or doesn't understand the internet, and maybe they'll be able to use an app instead. I don't
but
understand.
You know, there are a lot of those people.
But I mean, this industry has gone so many different ways, avenues of making income off
mm-hmm.
of it. So you're going to have apps. People come up with these grow cubes that are controlled rooms that's connected
yeah.
to your cell phone, and you can change your CO2 or you can change the heat in your room from the next state over just on your app, and then you can pull up a camera and see all your plants. So technology and all that stuff.
People have that already for their houses.
Right.
Like turn on the lights.
A lot of this stuff is not new. Mm-hmm. I mean, this app that they're talking about, is, to me, is just ridiculous.
It's just the same thing repackaged for cannabis grows.
Yeah. I mean, how many grow books have you seen out there?
You can buy it at Home Depot.
Can't you Google everything?
Yes.
Nowadays for free?
You don't even have to type it in. You can ask your phone. You can just ask Siri.
Siri is the goddess of the phone. She tells us where to go. She tells us how to get there. She tells us what to eat, what to drink, where to get it.
You can
even get a boyfriend online. I mean, listen, I did a show last year about blowjobs through your cell. Elliot, remember?
Yeah, I was on it.
Wait, hold on. What?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, we had some crazy shows.
If you get the right phone, honey, you need nothing.
Wait a minute.
Nothing.
What is this phone going
to
do?
You'll have to pull it out. It's an old. You have to look through the archives.
Okay.
It was a trip,
to find
though.
That show and
but
to
Elliot, that perked him up, didn't it? He likes those dirty things.
Tell us something else, Patty. Don't you have a dirty story in there?
Oh. Wait a minute. I did.
I know you did. You told me about it.
Oh, shit. Where is it? What was that?
It was a penis story.
A man died from the first penis enlargement surgery ever.
So I'm telling you guys, if you think
you have a problem with your penis, think twice. Because it's the only one you got. And this guy died because he wanted a bigger penis.
And women, stop putting shit into your face, too.
What's that mean? Yeah.
Meaning basically you're talking about guys, don't worry about getting your penis enlarged. Well, women need to stop pumping chemicals and actually spider poison into their...
No, they need to look more natural, like all that fucking makeup.
I used to work in Brazilian
butt implants.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I used to work in a spa.
I mean, it's nice to look at, I ain't gonna lie, but it's fake.
Right. Guys,
I'm not gonna take that home to my mom.
The places where people go to do those procedures,
I know
you're prey upon the insecurities of women. I know I used to work at one, and what they do is a woman can come in and be beautiful already, or just
so
fine looking, except that it's a human being and that's what it looks like. But instead, they start pointing out all of your little things, and they make marks on your face, and they make these women feel like they are completely inadequate if they don't have the procedure that they recommend.
Right.
It's totally preying on the weak.
It's preying on the weak.
It's
so
disgusting.
I'm saying, girls, educate yourself and grow some fucking balls.
And love yourself, please.
You're all great.
You're perfect exactly the way that you are.
I don't think we can be talking about like plastic surgery and then you tell women to grow some balls. I'm just saying.
That was like an oxymoron.
Yeah, and you know what? Men are not the only ones with chutzpah. Grow some tits.
Oh, wait a minute. This is a great story. A drug dealer. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about people being stupid. I mean, we are at the epitome of stupidity.
Are they in Florida?
Oh, God.
Please tell me it's Florida.
Please don't be Florida.
Wait a minute.
Be Florida.
I'm so ashamed of my state when
I'm
these things
so
come
I'm so sorry.
Up.
I can't even say.
What?
The guy sold broccoli for marijuana.
What?
Broccoli.
He sold broccoli, like saying that it was
weed? Broccoli. A broccoli peddling drug dealer was sentenced to 16 years after he opened fire on a buyer who protested they were scammed.
Wait. How did the person ever agree to purchase broccoli
to
smoke it?
Well, you're going to go sell broccoli and then get mad when someone said it's broccoli. You deserve
to be in jail
for
16
years.
Well, they probably shredded it. They didn't go there with broccoli heads.
Do you think it was like dried broccoli?
Yes.
It couldn't have been
perhaps
wet.
It
no
was
way.
Yeah, they might have like
no,
cut it
wait.
Up into the little florets and
okay,
dehydrated
wait a minute.
It. What?
And you know what? You guys are really smart. Maybe they did do that.
What? Yeah.
But the two
or they cut it with broccoli. You know, okay, I'm just going
to
say it. They cut every drug, right?
Wait,
cut coke.
I have to bring something up right now.
It's
I have to bring something up, though.
So why not cut
broccoli? Smells like sulfur. If you smelled a bag full of broccoli and you
maybe
stick your nose
in there. Maybe these were like 15-year-old, 13-year-old kids.
And they're going to open up a plastic bag and say, this fart-smelling weed is delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pardon my language, but like it smells like sulfur. It's not gonna.
I have to look this back up because it's such. No, I mean he got 16 years.
What's he selling?
Well, good. He's an idiot. I want to know who the buyers were.
Well, how could they? That's the bigger story.
Yeah,
that's,
really.
That's a bigger story.
Who got conned into thinking that broccoli was marijuana?
Someone that was beyond below idiot.
Do you think they prepaid and then when they got it, they were mad and they were?
Oh, you know what? That's a really good question. What if it was like a delivery or something.
The thing with these stories is they only give you a paragraph.
We're left with many questions.
Yeah, Patty, but that's why I didn't say whatever you argued about.
But but I read that about, I believe it was Uruguay, mm-hmm. one of those countries that just legalized, and it was, and I thought, oh my God, was it Costa Rica? I don't remember what. We'll have to look it up. But it was like less than 1% THC.
It's spelled as the pronunciation is Montevideo, but I know it doesn't.
That is Montevideo.
Oh, you sound sexy saying
thank
that.
You.
Say that again.
Montevideo.
You know what? Don't hit on her.
Hey, she sounds sexy saying just that, all right?
Uruguay. I speak Spanish.
You do?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm half Cuban, my friend.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
She's my future nutritionist.
Hey,
so
wait
now
a minute.
I'm like, wow.
Sing something.
She already sang for
happy
us.
Happy birthday.
No, she sings opera.
You.
She's opera singer.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Our co-host is
a badass opera singer. Okay. I seen it. She sang in front of about 100 people. Don't say you're shy.
No, you're
bullshit.
Not shy.
I didn't.
You're just sitting next to us.
Okay. No, I'm not shy.
Yeah, well, we're going to take a break. So sing us a note on our, as we leave this segment. Are we ready to leave this?
A segment from that pot song. Do you remember it?
From the pot song?
Yeah, that you sang at
the
event.
Oh, yeah, the musical theater song. Okay, wait. It was,
You have to get
in. Look at this room. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you say that my grow-up's complete? Wouldn't you say I'm the girl who grows everything? Look at these buds, treasures to roll. How many nuggets will fit in my bowl? Looking around here, you'd think, sure, she grows everything. There you go.
Nice.
Yay.
There was a part about the dab in there too of the song.
Yeah, there are dabs and nugs and there's keef and hash. It's all in there.
Well, we want people to know that, you know, it's not about stoners. We are smart, talented, educated.
We are creative,
beautiful,
bohemian.
Creative people. Right, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for putting me on the spot.
Yeah. So I think it's time to take a break because I'm done talking.
Okay.
And when we come back,
is something wrong with Patty?
No.
Is she feeling okay? Okay. All right.
That was so fabulous. I love that. I love people to know that you're fabulous.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with more Hot Pot Topics.
Okay.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Hemp Radio, and I'm Patty Cakes. I'm here with my buds, Al.
Holla.
Sweet Jess.
Hello again.
And our special, special guest, Brand Stebbins.
How you doing, everyone?
And we're so happy to have you here today, Brant. I mean, there's so many things I want to talk to you about, but first, I want to talk about your illness, because I had never heard of it, but there's a lot of illnesses that I haven't heard of. And I want you to tell us about it and how you're affected and what you've been doing.
Yeah, we got as far as knowing that the root for muscle is in the name. We didn't get past that. So right. tell us what your condition is.
So it's called juvenile dermatomyositis. If you broke down the word dermatomyositis, spelling it, it's derma, D-E-R-M-A.
Skin.
T-O, to myo, M-Y-O, muscle, situs, inflammation.
Right.
Basically, it's an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. It's in the same family as lupus and different autoimmunes. It attacks the joints. Basically, our immune system goes overboard and starts attacking our muscles. Mm-hmm. And
does it have a known cause or agitator?
Does it also attack the blood vessels?
It attacks some of the blood vessels. It'll attack the organs.
When it manifests differently for everybody, right? Like some people get a rash.
Correct. So mm-hmm. the derma part mm-hmm. in the beginning of the disease, you develop a rash around your eyelids. You can get the butterfly rash, which is, you know, on each side of your nose. Mm-hmm.
Do people confuse it for psoriasis just based on how it looks?
Actually, so a lot of people are misdiagnosed for a long time because it's so rare.
Right.
But rule of thumb for me, if I go to a hospital, it has to be a university hospital, because regular hospitals will not have a doctor that heard about this.
Because it kind of looks like psoriasis from the photos.
Yeah, right. It does. It appears on the joint. Yeah.
Well, so a lot of people get misdiagnosed as Lyme's disease.
Okay. Oh, right.
Because the Lyme's disease will get the same kind of scaly, patchy rashes around the joint areas. You get the joint
pain.
Well,
then how do you separate it from Lyme's to yours?
Usually it's through the white blood cell count once they see them. And then to really diagnose it 100%, you have to do a muscle biopsy, and you check the muscle enzymes, and you can see if they're elevated or not, because the muscle enzymes will be elevated when you're under attack, and then you'll have inflammation.
Oh, and then you get fatigue, right?
Muscle depletion.
When did you start presenting symptoms of this?
When I was 10 years old.
Okay.
So I was 10 years old, and I started getting a rash around my waistline. Mm-hmm. I started telling my parents I didn't feel too well. Then I started getting rashes on my knuckles. Mm-hmm. I started getting it onto my face a little bit. And then one day I was so, so tired, and we were traveling. My parents were professional dog handlers, we had to travel a lot and be on the road. Mm-hmm. And I was at the hotel, and I just remember being in dying pain and screaming. And they're like, come on, we have to go. We have to get to the show. We have to take care of the dogs, da 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 da. And I'm just, I'm so tired, and I'm in pain. And you know, finally they realize, like, okay, there's something more serious than this rash going on.
Yeah.
So they brought me to a local hospital. They said, oh, most likely it's Lyme's disease. So mm-hmm. they started treating me for Lyme's disease. Mm-hmm. Treatment, I didn't get any better. I started getting weaker and weaker.
What was the treatment for Lyme disease? What did they do to you?
And how old were you when you got diagnosed?
10 years.
Or like,
10.
Okay,
yeah.
10.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I don't really remember, because I was 10, so I don't remember fully of how they started trying to treat me. But eventually I just kind of started bouncing from hospital to hospital to hospital, my parents trying
traveled.
To find an answer.
Right.
And
where did you live at this time?
This time I was in Pennsylvania.
Where?
Were you living in Pennsylvania,
East
or were
Strasburg.
You guys showing dogs
the, yeah,
away from
the
home?
Kennel, the kennel that they had the dogs.
Yeah, because they have some really good hospitals there.
Yeah, so actually what it was is they went to one hospital in Pennsylvania. I forget, I think it was Geisinger Medical Hospital, Geisinger. Uh-huh. And one of the doctors there said, you know, I'm looking through everything, and this is the only other thing I can come up with, but it's very rare, and I don't understand anything about it. However, there is a specialist by the name of Dr. Pachman that's in the Children's Memorial in Chicago. Mm-hmm. They got it to set up for me to fly out there. My father flew out there. We went and did 2 days of full testing from head to toe, and I ended up meeting Dr. Pachman for the first time, who kind of came into the room and said, okay, so it is clarified, this is what your son has, is juvenile dermatomyositis, and started saying about different things that we're going to go through and different treatments. And she had an experimental kind of treatment in her mind, where it was really kind of almost overdosing the patient on steroids, on prednisone or something.
Oh my God.
That's awful.
So, but this was the only
way. Was this bitch like a witch doctor?
No.
Well,
no.
They're actually,
that's how you make it sound. I'm going to overdose you on fucking prednisone and steroids.
Like, they're trying to kill me? No,
it was the only way to get my immune system in check.
Yeah. Okay, I got it.
It was the only way. Reduce inflammation. I mean,
there was nothing else that was going to work. And her thing was, hey, look, either we can let it take him over or we can overdose him a bit on this stuff and we can always cut that back. But right now, he's getting worse and worse.
Yeah, you had to get
we have to cut back to that, that's fine.
So you must have been in really bad condition for them to take that approach.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't pick up a fork to feed myself. Right. I was in pain every single day. I was just in agony.
So they had to get inflammation down.
Because it starts going to your organs and my lungs start collapsing and I lose all muscle weakness. So
when did they start? When did you start feeling better?
Around when I was 12 years old. Is when I started feeling better after my first, initial being diagnosed and going for my first round. I've been through different flares. I've had time off where I was in somewhat what they call medicated remission.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never, fully, it's incurable. There's no cure. There's no known cause as of yet.
So you always have some measure of pain?
Yes. Yeah. I always have muscle pain. I have severe muscle spasms. I have to get muscle spasms so bad that people think I'm having seizures.
Wow.
My whole body's just vibrating. I mean, I vibrate off the bed.
Are you okay now?
I'm good now.
And so if you have an acute episode like that, if you medicate immediately with cannabis somehow, does it stop it?
Hugely.
Yeah.
Especially
muscle
spasms.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about when you first, so how old are you?
I am 36.
You're 36 years old.
Young.
You,
goodness.
I know, but look how long, when did you start using cannabis?
About medically 5 years ago.
Okay. So at 29, whatever, he had all those years of suffering. I mean, what were they giving you?
Methadone.
Wait a minute. Methadone. That's synthetic heroin.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was the only way to, my pain was is so bad.
He had a lot of pain.
They had me on methadone, extended release, and then I was on, I believe it was 10 milligrams, long release methadone on top of with 60 milligram instant release morphine for breakthrough pain.
Do you take any of that anymore?
Oh, hell no.
So good.
It put a wear on my liver.
Not just your liver, your entire digestive system too.
Well,
goodness.
What was really that got me is that one day I just forgot to take my medicine and my toes started curling and I started having this cringing feeling in my body. And I just felt just like my whole body just wanted to cringe up and curl up and I couldn't figure it out what it was. And then I realized it's because I didn't put a fucking opiate in my body yet.
Oh my God.
And that made me sick to my stomach. It made me feel, I started thinking, second guessing my own self. Am I a junkie? But why my body feel? Why do I feel like this?
Inadvertently, yes.
Yeah, and it's because that's just the pain.
That's what they gave him.
That's exactly what they gave him. So after that was when I said that was enough, and I started exploring.
Did they protest? Like I don't want to take this drug. And you're like,
They wanted me to get off of it.
When you approached your doctor and told them that you experienced that, what did they say?
How
did they react?
They said, let's wean you off of it, but we want to keep you comfortable as well. And when I told them I was using the cannabis, they said, great.
And at that stage, what form of cannabis were you ingesting?
There was a gentleman that was on Facebook that heard about my story, and he reached out and said, hey, I have this stuff, it's called RSO, Rick Simpson Oil.
Okay.
He said, you should really check out into this. I will give you a bunch of this to help you if you will, think you would like to try to benefit from it. So I did my research and looked into it and started comparing it to every single medication bottle I had and compared cannabis to each single one. And
what did you use to compare?
Just online. I mean, most people get their information these days, even their government.
Right, but what were you comparing between RSO and medications?
I was comparing the side effects, the wear and tear on the body.
And just out of curiosity, was this person who provided you with RSO telling you that they had it lab tested, anything about the purity? So you didn't know if it had solvents. This was just your first experience?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
And you know, I just kept looking.
Yeah, but it's still going to work.
It's still going to work, I mean, but if it has a high amount of solvents, it can make you sick.
This guy was so sick, and he found something that he was going to try. How long did it take for it to work?
Yeah.
It's instantly. The first time I took it, I started realizing that I was having better effects. Mm-hmm. You know, I my pain was down. Mm-hmm. I felt like my inflammation was down. The sleep that I got was able, because, you know, fatigue is a big thing of the disease. Which it just makes you very fatigued. You know, some people think that you're lazy or I just want to do something. It's just, I can't. It's just, mm-hmm. just not there. But when I have that solid sleep, when I eat like a gram of RSO, that's mm-hmm. just high potency.
Wow, a gram of RSO.
I was eating a gram a day.
Wow.
Gram a day.
Oh, so broken up into little doses?
No, I would eat, I first thing in the morning, goodness, I would take pop a gram of RSO.
Okay.
And I did it like crazy amount for 36 days. I slept for about 14 to 16 hours a day.
Wow.
My body was I was in a medicated coma.
Basically, exactly.
You know?
Like forced hibernation.
And you know, the gentleman that did this, you know, and his name is Lewis, and he passed away, but he was a good friend of mine, and I miss him. But the RSO, when I had that sleep, it was, I'd wake up the next morning and be like, I wanted to get up and go do something. I felt like, wow, I should be outside today.
So you were getting re-energized.
And it wasn't even thinking about what I took the night before. It was just in my head. I just wanted to get up and go outside and just feel the sun. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't something that I was doing on a normal basis. And when I realized, I was like, wow, I checked my own self. Like, wow, I really do feel kind of better. And then I just continued with that. And I started, you know, when I was coming off the opiates, you know, my doctors actually wanted me to come off of them as well, because mm-hmm. they understand, because my liver was having problems. So they're, you know, they wanted me off for my own safety reasons. Right. And I was able to use the cannabis to interact with that. And then with the, I get the really bad muscle spasms. Mm-hmm. So they were giving me cyclobenzaprines and the muscle relaxers to calm them down when it happens. But those are not fast enough. When they come on and that's it. I'm going for a ride, you know?
Right.
So, but when if I'm able to take a dab uh-huh. right as they first starting, and I can just kind of get it in and get it out.
Wow. It works.
It doesn't, sometimes it stopped it. I'm not going to say all the time it stops it, mm-hmm. but there is, you can see a dramatic change in the difference. And I have had videos I posted on Facebook and stuff like that, where I've actually shown people where my legs are going, just flying all over the place, and then I'll take a dab and it just slowly starts coming down, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of my body just gets that feeling, and I don't understand why it does, you know, and I'm looking into that, and I'm doing everything in my power to keep researching this. I promised Lewis to help me out, that he helped me out. I promised him before
he
passed
away.
Was he
the one that introduced you to the oil?
Yes.
Wow. And did he die of, was he using the oil himself?
He was using oil himself. He had liver cancer.
Oy.
Was he making it?
Yes.
Okay.
And he ended up passing away from the hepatitis, because he got he got it from the whole liver cancer part. Right. So that's kind of really what took him out, the cancer. He was actually kind of fighting the cancer and beating the cancer. It was just, you know, the hepatitis that took mm-hmm. him. But... you know, I promised him before he passed away that I would continue what he did, which was reach out to somebody that was sick that you think that maybe you could help, mm-hmm. and not ask for a fucking thing back. Just take care of them, period.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Lewis did for me.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you for continuing.
I mean, it was great that he was in your life. I have a real important question. Where do you live in a community where there's a ban on cannabis dispensaries and stuff like that. What do you do?
That's Huntington Beach,
Huntington
right?
Beach, yeah. Man. We have 2 minutes. What could you say in 2 minutes? You'll have to come back.
In 2 minutes, I've been personally going to City Hall and speaking to my mind to the council. I've been personally setting up meetings with the city attorney of Huntington Beach. I've been setting up meetings with future candidates that are going to be on our city council. I've been talking to the planning boards, the planning commissioners. I've gone speaking at the planning commissioners that they just banned on recreational. They banned out medical. And I'm just being out there to be a voice and try to get as many people as I can rally up behind us.
Right.
Yeah. What can people, what can like the average constituent do to help?
It's really just amongst talking amongst the community itself, mm-hmm. and bringing all the people together and figuring out what city council needs mm-hmm. to make it happen, which mm-hmm. is if it's the support from their backers.
So that means go to city council meetings too, right?
Yeah, a lot of people are afraid to go speak. Just go speak. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're complaining online and bitching online, then
right.
if you're
take
not-
Take your mouth there and do it.
Do it there in person, because that's where it's going to make the difference.
Do it where how it counts.
Can, I mean, do you have a Facebook page or-
Yeah, can we follow you somewhere?
How can people read about your story?
You can look up Brandt the Bionic Warrior, which is B-R-A-N-D-T. It's a group, support group that somebody made me when I got really sick.
Brandt the Bionic Warrior.
Correct.
Wow.
Okay. Is that .com or is it on
just on Facebook.
Page?
Facebook group.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. And you have to come back because we have to talk about the political part of it and why no one's taking care of you and people like you in Huntington Beach and other cities, you know, where it isn't legal. Mm-hmm. So I
also want to hear more about this pay it forward culture because this is beautiful, people sharing with each other for the sake of empathy.
Right.
That's nice.
Well, we've had a great time today.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes, thank you. And he just lives down the street.
Awesome. That's,
yeah, he's Andy. Elliot, honey, are you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad you made it.
No.
Sweet Jessica is always sweet.
Thanks,
check out our Facebook page, Hemp Radio. What is it? Hashtag Hemp Radio?
No.
Hempradio.com.
Our Facebook is... Facebook.com/hemp radio.
It's facebook.com.
Follow us on Instagram at hemp radio. Put it in your Google search bar and follow every link. You can find us on Dash Radio,
iTunes.
We're part
Stitcher.
Of the Cannabis Talk 101 Fam Bam.
We're everywhere. We're like whatever, did you? Anyway, we've had a fabulous time. Brandt, thank you so much for coming. You'll come back. Jess, have a great rest of the week.
Thank you too, everybody.
I love you, babe.
Yeah, love you too.
And on that note, it's time to blow this joint.